Friday night. It rained both Friday and Friday night. Highs in the 60s, lows in the 40s. Saturday, Sunday, mostly sunny skies. Highs in the 60s, partly cloudy at night, lows in the 40s. It's going to rain on and off here for the next couple days. Just expect that. For you boaters, no major advisory in effect this evening. And nothing for me to issue for tomorrow. And with that said, my final show with you guys tonight is Wake the Bear. I hope you enjoy the show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers. All right. Happy New Year, everyone. It's going to be a great night. I'm just so happy to be back after the holidays. How was your holidays, Chris?
Oh, everything is brand new. I can feel the shift. I am very excited about 2022. I was praying this morning, and I did have this vision while I was praying, and often the Lord will speak to me in a prayer, and I saw a lion and a dragon facing off, and I heard in my spirit, I heard the word face off. So I know there's still a fight ahead, but we know who wins, and I just want to encourage us because God is in the battle with us, but he expects us to do our part. So standing up, having hope, and really going after the things that are important for freedom are part of our 2022 mandate.
Oh, awesome. Well, we have Brandon is actually off site today, but he's with us. Brandon, can you hear us? Brandon, you there? Okay, let me try this. Hang on.
Hello.
Okay, yes, hello. Got you now. Sorry, it was my fault there. So, Happy New Year, Brandon.
Happy New Year. I'm excited about this new year. I really believe that some foundations were laid to help wake the bear in 2021. And I think 2022, we're going to see the fruits of our labor here. We're going to see a lot more people getting their voice back and speaking out and using their constitutional rights to fight back against tyranny. So I'm excited for a year of victory. I believe it's going to be a year of victory for us.
Amen. Speaking of a year, it's coming on to a year anniversary of a very dark day. And that was January 6th. What started out to be quite a nice day, where President Trump was going to have a huge speech and rally in Washington, D.C., turned out to be a pretty hard day for many patriots, and that was a year ago. So tonight's subject is actually going to be just looking back at January 6th, what happened then and what has happened since. And so with no more further ado or delay, let's get into that.
There definitely was an insurrection on January 6th, but it was not by MAGA supporters, but by the very people we're supposed to be able to trust and keep law and order. I believe, it's my personal opinion, that there was an insurrection from the inside of the Capitol by the feds and the FBI.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I was just doing a gut check even throughout that whole thing, just saying this just can't be. You know, we looked at the rallies leading up to the election, actually, in November, and those rallies were packed, right? I mean, stadiums were packed. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got a guy that couldn't fill a high school gymnasium, I think less than 100 people most of the times, you know, Joe Biden, against a guy who is literally setting records for these stadiums. I mean, records that broke like Elton John's, you know, all-time record at a certain... I mean, there's just so much overflow. And so it seemed like a shoe-in that Trump was going to win that election in November. And so these people gathered on the 6th saying, hey, our vote was stolen. And why was it stolen? Is because everything went to mail-in ballots, right? We'd never done that before. And another gut check's like, I think it was in April. They said they already started talking about mail-in ballots, April That's the month after March when they started shut down in, 2020. And as soon as they said that, I'm like, oh, I knew it, because we were expecting it. Well, I was hearing this on the boards that either there was going to be a major catastrophe, like a nuclear attack, or there'd be a pandemic or one other thing, but maybe a major crash, and to expect one of those. And so when we saw the pandemic, it's like, oh, this is what's going to happen.
Well, the pandemic, it was the perfect answer to what was needed for some election shifts and the mail-in ballots. So it really, it answered a lot of the problems on the left. And so we saw that the pre-planning of it in Event 201 prior to the event, when it was mocked up, and the pandemic coronavirus just so happened to be the emergency that they were mitigating in a mock-up for the government just prior to 2 months prior to the outbreak. And you can see how it ordered things perfectly. That which happened in January 2020 had a huge effect on what was really happening, was the control of the election.
Yeah. I think there was a contingent of people within our government that said we have to stop Donald Trump using any means necessary. The ends justifying the means. And there was a whole lot of people out there that had been prepped by the media to hate Donald Trump without cause, without reason. They would slander him in the media, that who went along and changed votes because they believed that the ends justified the means. And what we have now is what I believe is an illegitimate president, illegitimate government running our country. And a lot of people felt the same way, and that's why they have stopped the steal rally, and that then later was called an insurrection. It's so interesting that people don't even know what the word insurrection means. It sounds really big and bad, but it was the first insurrection where nobody brought guns or knives or weapons to the actual event.
There are a lot of mom and dads there for an insurrection,
a lot of moms,
too.
Dads, yeah. Right.
Grandparents.
A lot of praising and praying going on around both the Ellipse and the Capitol building. I know that was a primary emphasis. There were people prayer walking. There were people definitely protesting. It was called Stop the Steal for a reason, because the very purpose of our rallying about protests is so that we have an outlet. The American people have an outlet to express their disappointment or their concern. And now the American people, I think they feel so disempowered that we're in really quite a dangerous time, because we've been our voices have been taken away. They say that really what we are supposed to change things through is with our vote. And even the voting process is so corrupt right now that has been taken away. So our constitutional rights and those things our founding fathers stood for with the Constitution, it's time for a remake. And the reset that we need is not the one that Klaus Schwab is proposing.
Yeah, it was just such an eerie day just watching what had happened. I mean, you know, do you remember watching the videos of what they called storming of the Capitol? And I'm like, that looks nothing like what I picture storming of the Capitol would be. You know, I remember seeing the Antifa and BLM, the riots throughout that summer where things were being burned and cops were being beat up and tear gas.
That's
and
mostly
everything.
Peaceful protest.
It very much was.
Yeah, this was actually a mostly peaceful protest, and they turned it into a violent insurrection, the narrative. Because whoever controls the media controls the story, and that controls what's being believed by the people and what's being – unfortunately, that's how the laws follow, is that you got to get a bunch of the people to believe a certain narrative, and then you basically create a pretext for a whole bunch of wicked stuff, you know. And, I mean, it's really horrible. I mean, I here's one story I think that's really compelling. I had thought that was, you know, something weird was going to happen. And I actually went to, not D.C., but to the Sacramento Capitol for a Stop the Steal rally. And I was there. Other friends of mine were there. And we were going, I had a friend who had a little girl, and we needed to use the restroom. So we went over to the porta potties, and we're standing in line with a bunch of people waiting to use the restroom. This is the Capitol, Sacramento. And it was a really peaceful event. Everybody's really kind and gentle. Everybody's friendly and cheering and very patriotic. And there's this one guy over by the gate, and he's dressed like overwhelming Trump material, so like clothes, looks like they'd just been bought. And he's getting all belligerent, and he's getting in the face of one of the cops who's holding back a barrier, saying, hey, you guys have to be on this side of the barrier, not this side. And he's just getting in his face, and we're looking at each other going, what the heck is this guy doing? Like, dude, choose your battles. This is not an important thing. You're getting in this guy's face. And then all of a sudden, a guy walks past me who's dressed like a Proud Boy. He's got, paramilitary gear on. He pulls his helmet off, and he goes, listen, dude, that guy right there is not a Trump supporter. He is a paid insurrectionist. He is here to cause trouble. Stay away from him. That guy is bad news. And I said, really? He said, yeah. And the media is following him around. They're trying to find ways to pin, make Trump supporters look bad. And I go, okay, well, let's pray right now. So I stop. I raise my hands in the air. And I just pray with this guy. I start praying, God, just cause this guy to totally back off. And whatever spirit he's in, we just shut that spirit down in Jesus' name. And like within 3 minutes, and this is funny because all the people in line start agreeing with me in prayer. So I'm like, wow, there's a lot more Christians here. And I thought, they start agreeing with me in prayer out loud. And then the guy shuts down and he walks away and stops harassing. And I'm like, dude, he's right. There are paid instigators. There are people purposely here to instigate a riot or something that looks like an insurrection to make the media capture it and to create a narrative. It was like, it was very systematically planned.
Wow. Yeah. That's what's coming out. Excuse me. That's what's coming out right now is they're getting more and more evidence that there were paid insurrectionists, even FBI. And that's really, I don't know, disheartening to hear, but it's looking like it's true. Just looking right now, I was looking at an interview, and it was a person that is, he's part of a military, trying to look it up right now. It's he basically covers military news, and he covered
Michael
over
Vaughn.
500. Yeah, Michael Vaughn. And he's covered over 500 protests. They call him a wartime correspondent. And anyway, he knows what protests look like, having witnessed 500 of them. And he went over to Hong Kong for 7 months to study those protesters. And he says that they were very different. They were very peaceful, respectful. They would never break things, things like that. So but what he found was that there were Antifa that had come over to Hong Kong to figure out how they protest and pick up some of the good points. And one of the things was, he said, is, when they started bombing them with tear gas and stuff, they'd say, masks up front. And people that had masks in the back, they would pass them all the way up to the front lines. And so he said, I saw that all the time, shields, masks, and all those sort of things that you needed on the front line. And he says that's exactly what he saw at the Capitol. So he had covered the Capitol. He didn't go in the building, but he was on the campus. So he says, hey, there's definitely some trained people, and they were Antifa. And he noticed that they were, dressed in the black paramilitary gear. He said he noticed a guy that, had his black helmet on, but he had a brand new Trump sticker on the back. And on the side, he had COB, which are cops, all cops, ACOB. All cops are bastards. Well, I don't know if I could say that on the air, but, the B word. But anyway, so he's like, that just doesn't make any sense. And so his analysis was, it definitely was Antifa that was in there. And all they were there for was to instigate the crowd. And the crowd, there's a crowd dynamic, and you just start following what you're told. And if you have a megaphone, you're instantly deemed as a leader. So if you bring a megaphone, you start telling people where to go. They're like, okay, yeah. And that's kind of what he saw. It was interesting.
Well, and there was one Black Lives Matter activist from Utah, that guy John Sullivan. He bragged about it. He's on media saying, yeah, I was there. I was getting people riled up. I was getting people to do what I wanted them to do. And then you got Ray Epps from Arizona, who was also an FBI infiltrator. Tons of footage that he was telling people what to do the night before. 15 videos where people were gathering. I mean, I saw, after that event, I saw like, at least 30 videos where the police were letting people in. They were saying, come on inside. I mean, that's the question here. Is this an insurrection? Is it a trespass? Is it a planned false flag? I think it's all those, all those things, that it's an insurrection, unfortunately, by our government, and overstepping its boundaries. It's a trespass that people were just there trespassing their own government buildings that they paid for. to say, hey, we want to protest. We want to let you know we don't agree with this election and we believe there's something wrong. And then I do believe that the paramilitary organizations like the FBI, CIA, secret organizations that are under not held accountable, those guys organized a false flag.
Yeah, I think what caught my attention with Ray Epps is President Trump, he posted on Telegram just a couple days ago, he was going to have a rally, you know, on January 6th at Mar-a-Lago, and he has since canceled that, and he's going to announce what he wanted to announce on the following Saturday. But one of the things he posted is he posted the article about that had been written by The Revolver, which is a online magazine, and it was all about the new details emerging that expose the mass web of unindicted operators at the heart of the January 6th. And in the article, if you have a chance, go to that article, go to Trump's Telegram, because it really is a great documentary about and time stamps different things that happen, and it shows how these operators work. He was a retired he was former Marine, and he obviously had infiltrated some of the different organizations that looked more like the Patriot militias. But what it showed was that he was everywhere, and he kept rallying people up to say, hey, tomorrow we're going to the Capitol and we are going in. And he would jump into conversations. He was very loud. He had a lot of authority to him. He obviously knew how to carry himself, but people were kind of pointing at him going, I think he's a Fed. Even in the videotape, the various documentations from people's phones that had come in. So I just want to bring people's attention to that, because it was really enlightening as I went through that article. And I think Trump highlighted it because he wants us to understand that there are a large number of federal agents that actually were part of January 6th.
Yeah, definitely. The Fed agents. And one of the things that raised a lot of eyebrows was that people that were barely involved at all, just in the building, they got, you know, they got in trouble, they got thrown in jail and prison. And yet people that were clearly on video doing more active efforts of destruction and rallying people up and doing that, they're not at all. They were completely released, and they were identified in the documents as like person number two and person mm-hmm. number three. They wouldn't give them their names. Mm-hmm. And what they're finding out is as they investigate who is person number two, who is person number three, they were FBI agents. And so the FBI is all over this, and it stinks to high heaven of FBI involvement. It's a lot like, well, what was her name with the kidnapping?
The governor.
Whitmer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're finding that They instigated that, and they started, they supply and they instigate and they do that. And it's not the first time. There's a whole litany of, of evidence of past things done by our government where they will give you the gun. Mm-hmm. They'll get you all riled up and say, go get them. You know, I'm with you. I'm right behind you. And then that person gets, you know, in trouble and does all the bad stuff.
It's the patsyism system. It's the trying to basically make American citizens enemies of the state. By putting, you know, by basically trapping them. I mean, what's that little?
It is entrapment.
It's a trap. Yeah. It's a trap. It's a trap. It was a trap.
Yeah. What about the guy who supposedly got his head bashed in multiple times by a fire extinguisher and got killed right there on campus? You know, he's a poor innocent. I think he was a Capitol Police. I mean, whatever came of that? I'm asking because I'm sure you know.
Well, we know that there was only actually one death that day. And it was by the hands of the Capitol Police, by a lady named Babbitt, who was shot at close range, and she had no weapon in her hands. Now, I know it was a chaotic situation, and there were a lot of mistakes, and that obviously was one of the mistakes, but no one else died that day on the grounds of the Capitol. That man who was hit with the extinguisher, he did have a medical incident, and he later died of complications, I believe, of a stroke. There was at least one Capitol Police who has since committed suicide, and I believe, I was trying to research, I think there are two more. So there might be three suicidal, but I only have been able to confirm the one. So
yeah, and that was, what, the next day or a day or so later? But yeah, they called it natural causes. And I'm thinking, who's ever doing the autopsy is probably not heavily motivated to say it was natural causes, unless it really was. That's just my opinion, but it seems like there's so much cover-up everywhere. That they would have just said, "Oh, it's a, you know, head trauma," and it was never deemed head trauma at all. So it, I don't know. Again, it's a fishy thing. It's like, what happened to? They said five people had died, and they and then they really put on, you know,
the and they never one. Retract that. Yeah, you know, that was all part of the Trump rioters, and even the inflammatory language that they use in the headlines, and they continue to use even though those have been debunked.
Yeah. Well, what happened to social media then? The next day, Trump loses his account. He's taken off. I think, I guess maybe it was Twitter at the time.
It was Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, completely forever. And so he's taken off. And then anyone who questioned what had happened on the 6th and didn't go along with the narrative was all of a sudden completely censored. And so that was the start of that. So that to me shows that, hey, this is not an open, free society at all. This is a propaganda and total state control.
Well, I think that what you is really clear here is that there are thousands of hours of video, surveillance video, being suppressed and kept hidden from the American people, which would show exactly what was going on that day, and we give the opportunity for some media who are honest to go and investigate. But they're controlling all the narrative by controlling all the video. Press video footage, and I there's even one whole thing about like what really happened on January 6th. There's a whole thing that was put on YouTube, and it was video clips of the police ushering them in and saying, "Yeah, you can be here, just don't commit any, you know, vandalism while you're here." Like literally telling people it's okay, and all of that footage just keeps getting washed off of the internet. It keeps getting banned. It keeps getting shut down, and there's a clear suppression. And then you know what? It just came out that the select committee that's going to be reviewing, and it's been reviewing all this information, they're going to give their results in like the fall, right? Just before the next election, so that they can then control how people see the information being let forth rather than let it forth now. And then it leads us again to another big question. Why is due process not being done for 700 people that were arrested that day? Sure, some of them need to be prosecuted as criminals, maybe did something wrong. I don't know. But 700 people were arrested that day, and zero of them have been actually tried for insurrection.
Yeah, well, actually, a lot of them weren't arrested that day. They were arrested. It was so unusual. The event was unusual. There are many, many, many people who didn't get arrested until after the event. They just walked out of the building, including some of the major perpetrators, like Ray Epps from the Oath Keepers, and some John Sullivan. They still haven't been charged. John Sullivan and Ray Epps still are not charged with the crimes.
Yet they're rotting in a prison cell.
They haven't been arrested. Ray Epps is sitting in Arizona, and he was an instigator of a lot of, and he hasn't been arrested yet. That's all part of the story that I think Trump wants us to investigate, is how come this guy hasn't been arrested, although his face is all over all the videos, and it's obvious that he was a big part of this.
My mistake, yes. I was thinking Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, what she has found in the prison. These people are in solitary. Mm-hmm. They've been maced in the face. Toilets aren't working. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like inhumane conditions, and these people are being beaten by the guards. This is just like a third world or communist country. So I was kind of thinking about that, but you're right. They were actually instigators that should be in jail that aren't.
Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she was one of the ones that went with a group of representatives from the Capitol. She had heard the rumors that there was a two-tiered system at the D.C. jail, where the regular inmates had a lot of rights. They had the law library and the chapel and were watching TV, and their education and job training was being done. But the ones from January 6th, they were, many were in solitary confinement. They were not allowed to come out for chapel or to take communion. They weren't allowed to have a haircut or to have a shave. And the list goes on and on. They were denied, again, some of their toilets weren't working, and they weren't allowed to have any of the library privileges. And so it just seemed like there was a two-tier system, and that true communism is when people in power are wielding the sword against their political enemies, and that's exactly what's going on here in America right now.
Well, that is the trend that I'm really concerned about that we have seen since 9/11, starting with the Patriot Act, where basically there were provisions within the Patriot Act to make it legal to surveil all Americans for no reason whatsoever without any due process. And then during the Obama administration, they started another thing called the National Defense Authorization Act that made it possible for you in Section 1021. For anyone who's committed a belligerent act could be detained indefinitely without charges or trial as a suspected terrorist. That's why they have to call everybody domestic terrorists, because they have to say that they're suspected terrorists. And this is a direct violation of the U.S. Constitution, our Bill of Rights, the Federalist Papers 84. I mean, Alexander Hamilton stressed in 84 that the writ of habeas corpus is to protect us against the favorite and most formidable instruments of tyranny. So we're what's going on right now, and over the last 20 years, is slowly our rights have been dissolved, and now those laws are being used to treat our American people, we the people, like enemies of the state, enemy combatants. And that's what I'm very concerned about.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a break, and on the backside of the break, we'll start taking callers. We already have one on there. You can call us at 831-479-1080. It's 479-1080.
And you're listening to KSCO Radio, and this is Wake the Bear.
What I like about Gathering by the Bay is it is real, it's practical. It's not just, quote, religion. It's saying...
So we're a community that declares and believes the gospel, even when the stuff in front of us doesn't look like it should.
So, I was evacuated with the wildfires happening, and one morning, Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, go to the church where they're handing out free food, and I pulled up in the car, and I just was met with so much love, and they immediately said a blessing over me, which was incredible.
This is a great fellowship of people, of strong believers who love people.
For more information on the Gathering by the Bay Church, visit us at www.santacruzgathering.org or join us at 5 p.m. on Sunday evenings at the Santa Cruz Convergence Building at 3775 Capitola Road, Capitola.
All right. Well, we have our first caller, as caller Ray. And so let's see. Ray, you're
online.
How are
you doing?
Good, good.
Hey, you know, I want to talk about this insurrection thing a little bit. I agree 100% with everything that's been said to this point. You know, collectively, between whoever's in the studio right now or on the phone that's been talking for the last 20 minutes, and myself included, you know, we got some pretty intelligent people right here, right now. We should do a third-party investigation over what they investigated, because I'll tell you, I purposely did not do nothing that day of January 6th, and my whole purpose was to glue myself to that event. I went through NTD, Fox News. I was scanning through multiple different. Platforms that had video cameras set up and staged there at January 6th. Immediately, I seen barricades being put down. The very first thing that I seen was at the bottom of the stairs, some of the protesters were up in the hallway discussing whatever they were discussing with the Capitol Police. They both walked to the top. They were at the top of the stairs, so they walked down the hallway. The rioter guy was basically said, "You're clear." He walked down the stairs and immediately flagged the guys, his rioters, back right up up those same very stairs as the police removed the barricade. The barricades up, taking them up to the stairs. That was the very first thing I seen, and that happened to be on a, I think it was NTD News, which I think is a subsidiary of Epoch Times, set up a camera and walked away. They just put it on a tripod stand and walked away. Probably had three or four cameras placed strategically throughout the facility. You know, probably one or two people, probably low staff coverage. But it was a lone camera just sitting there, and he'd been there for several hours just viewing absolutely nothing till the event started. That was the first video I seen. But my point for calling is there is absolutely no question whatsoever that this insurrection, so they call it, was definitely an insurrection, and it was definitely produced by the left.
Absolutely.
Nancy Pelosi, right out of the gate, Donald Trump had said, "Hey, shall I bring 10,000 National Guards down here?" Nancy Pelosi is in charge of that entire facility there, a Capitol building. She denied security for whatever reason. Now, just that in itself, one has to stop and think that every single one of Donald Trump's events running for re-election had no less than 30,000 people show up to every single one of his events, as many as 60,000. His draw was so huge that the cities had to tell him to stop coming in and renting these facilities. You're going to have to do it careful. We're paralyzing our cities. The freeways are backed up. The whole city shuts down when he has these events and just paralyzes them. So that's why they decided to have him at the airports, is because they had plenty of parking, plenty of room. He pulls the jets, the Air Force One, right up. The stage is set up. It just worked out much better. But my thing here is what happened when Bill Clinton was impeached, when there was always a third party investigation done. Gosh, I'm drawing a blank and I don't like this.
Yeah, like a non-biased party to do the investigation.
Objective third party investigation.
Exactly, but there's specific names that are still in the media today that are Republicans. I'm drawing a blank at their names. Ken Starr, I think, is one of them.
Independent counsel or independent.
Yeah, there you go. Where's that?
Well, unfortunately, those that are in charge right now or acting in charge, they don't do things fairly.
I understand, but we shouldn't lay down on that.
No, we shouldn't. And the truth will be made known.
That's what America, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but that's what America is doing right now. America is laying down. It's too much effort to get on the radio like we are today and put together an organized conversation over what's going on with our country. And the unfortunate part, there is not enough of us to go around, and that is sad. It's sad because we're in the process of getting a major takeover here, and it's got to stop. But my point is there's enough people right now on the phone listening in this studio and whoever you had there with your team to investigate this thing. And the gentleman that was just speaking about the guy that went overseas to learn the art of rioting, hey, where is our government with that kind of study? The other thing, where is all the closed circuit cameras on those buildings over there in Washington? Where's the footage?
Well, that footage is coming out, right?
Nobody's requested that. You can bet your butt that Capitol building and inside, outside, and every other building surrounding there is wired for sound. You can bet your butt.
Yeah, they have it. They have it. It's 1,400 That's hours. Right. It will be coming
That's
out.
That's right. They have it. Yeah. You're right. They
and
have
there,
it.
You know, Ray, there are some action steps we can do about that. We are not helpless. We can put pressure.
I'm trying to rally it to make it happen.
Yeah, we can put pressure on our representatives. We can actually call the Capitol Police. They have a phone number, and we can say release the videos, release the text, release the emails around the January 6th investigation.
The only problem with that is they're going to release what they want us to see. And if you try to say, where's the other footage? Oh, what footage? Why?
Yeah, well, we have to start somewhere, don't we?
Big Tech has already censored all of the potential videos that were a threat, that they've already kind of washed the scene, if you will.
Well, yes, there could be a little bleach bit, but we have to start somewhere, don't we?
Hey, Ray, thanks for calling in. We're going to thank you. Yeah, very good points.
And it is frustrating. I think what you're speaking about, what Ray brought up, is the frustration that patriots and Americans have when they see something going on over and over and over again, and they know it's wrong, they know it's unjust, and they're thinking, why is someone not doing something? And what we have to do, we do get on our knees and we pray. And we do start talking like this. I like that you wanted to rally some people, Ray, because, you know, all it takes is someone with a little charisma and some ideas. And we do have a voice. We are not helpless. We can start writing articles. We can start writing letters. We can start making calls. We can be a pain to our legislators to make them. We should have power. They are there to represent us, and we need to at least try to go through the process so that we are following the rule of law and we are making noise.
Yes, and this is part of the wake up. This is waking people up. You know, it's been said that, you know, you can't tell people about this. They'll just keep going on what they always have. They have to actually experience it. Until people are brought to the precipice of destruction, they're not going to change. And so I believe that a lot of this happened and it was allowed to happen. So you could see the crimes. I mean, President Trump knew that election was going to be stolen. He talked about it. He even talked about it before he ran the first time for president. He was talking about how elections are crooked, how there's fake ballots and all that stuff. So he is already aware. And then he talked about it going into the second election that, hey, I mean, we saw it on the boards and stuff. People are talking about it. So they knew. And if they knew, then they were prepared to record it, to listen, and catch people in the act of doing it. But you got to let them do the crime before you make them pay the time.
And the other thing is, how many people were in that crowd that day? They saw what was going on. They were eyewitness accounts of what was being experienced. They know what the truth was, and then they saw what the narrative was. But this is true. I mean, we have to go through a near-death experience to get a glimpse of what America could be like if it were under the control of the globalists.
Absolutely. You look at Israel many times. Israel would walk away from God, right? They'd live in a season of blessing. Then they would start getting confident. They'd start just doing things that were not according to Scripture. And what would happen? They would get taken over. And then they would be on their knees screaming out to God, help us, help us. And they would turn to God. But that's the only thing that did every time. I never saw them in a time of peace where they said, hey, let's all just start worshiping God and let's get back to his practices. I never saw that in the scriptures. It was always, we screwed ourselves over so bad by what we did that now someone else is ruling over us and we're oppressed and we need your help, God. And we realize that we have sinned against you. We have kicked you out of our lives. And so that's what I think is happening with America.
Yeah, we have been in this situation for a long time, a lot longer, I think, than most of us realize. It goes back before the 1900s. The insidiousness and the depth of the darkness is very deep, and the swamp is very stinky, and the plots and the plans have been laid out in a very patient order, and they are bringing their timeline along. And so when we wake up and suddenly go, what's going on? How did we get here? We have to realize that we need to have some chutzpah to get back into position and stand up and make a voice and make some noise about what's not right. We need to legislate with our yes and our no very clearly. No, that's not true. No, we're not going to wear those masks. No, that is not okay. These mandates are not laws. You can't just start making up the rules and changing them to your convenience. Our no's and our yes's are very powerful.
Absolutely. You know,
I think it's really, you guys pointed out, really, I mean, I know Ray, like many thousands, you know, I would say millions of Americans are feeling like Ray feels. That's one of the reasons why, Ray, if you're still on, that we started this show, Wake the Bear, is we ourselves were not very active, and we have become active, and the whole show is dedicated to activating people who are the righteous remnant in this country and in this state to stand up and use their voice and stop being silenced and intimidated by the social forces around us. I mean, there's some major forces around us that try to get Christians to be silent, and the reality is we actually, like Chris was saying, we legislate with our voice. If we are silent when we should be speaking up, and just like it was said to Esther, that God may protect our nation some other way, but perhaps we are all alive at this time in history right now to be the people to wake this nation up. And I look back at 9/11 and how the churches were swollen like for months after 9/11, and then after like a couple months, everybody just went back to living a life apart from God. And it's like it takes these crazy things to happen for us to cry out to God and to turn back to the founding principles of what we really believe. It takes trauma sometimes for us to understand what we do and do not believe and who we really, really are. And I think the American people, I think there's way more of us than there are of them. It's just a matter of that we are out-organized by the left right now, and we have to organize. We have to start creating other alternative ecosystems for our kids and our families, and at the same time fight for the high ground as well and to take it back.
And the good news is we are starting to organize. I mean, I see it every day. Clout Hub, if you just go to that, every day there's like 20 new videos at least, if not more, covering the news of the day, and it's alternative news. Chris had mentioned that the plans from the deep state are not something that recent. They go back a long time, centuries even. And if you're interested in an interesting documentary I've been watching lately is The Fall of the Cabal, the sequel. It's a 20-part series, and it goes back to the Medo-Persians. And then it starts off with the Rothschilds, how they raised up to power, and then they just keep going and going, and how their influence. So they don't think in years; they think in like generations, and that's what they do. And you think about it, this Earth is a big ship, and it's hard to turn its course. You know, and it takes time to turn that big ship. Just like waking people up in this country, it takes a long time to wake up the masses, but it happens little bit by little bit. And every year, think about how many people are aware of what's going on now, and think about 5, 6, even 10 years ago. Did even people talk about that? They all thought those were like the tinfoil hat people, but now that they're seeing. You didn't, but there were a lot of people I know that just say.
No, 2 years ago. 2 years
ago,
man. I wasn't even. I mean, Ron, you're like 30 years ahead of me.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I was just asleep, and I just thought, oh, my government is telling me the truth, and what they put on the media is correct. And oh, by the way, we should attack Iraq because they have weapons of mass destruction, says CNN. And we all just said, okay. And then we just let them lead us around. And I was one of them. And I've woken up since then, and I'm trying to wake other people up. Other pastors, other leaders, we have to use our brains and stop just believing what the six mega media corporations tell us to believe.
Yeah, and that's what we're about at Wake the Bear Radio. And we have got to get a hold of the realistic picture of the web of deceit that has been woven over America. It's pervasive, it's huge, it's been going on for years. And so where do we start? It's so easy to go, oh, this is too dark and ugly. We start with the local elections. We start with our neighbors. We get to know them. We start with our own schools. We start locally, and then we move out from there.
Absolutely. Yep. Hey, we have another caller. It's Ernie. Ernie, you're on the line. Can you hear us?
Yeah, hey, I was just, hi, you guys are great. I was just wondering, how do you believe about the separation between church and state? It seems like you guys are kind of like too involved with the church and the state. I mean, it should be separate, and everybody should have their own opinion. And you guys just said a minute ago that if we were liberals, we were on the wrong side. We're all Americans.
Yeah, great question. I'm going to let actually Brandon, since he's a pastor, and we all have our opinion, and it's the same probably, but Brandon, you want to address that? That's a great question.
Oh, Ernie, great question. I would definitely agree that there is a separation of church and state to a degree, but the way that it was written,
Not to a degree.
Do you know who wrote that? Is that in the Constitution? No, it's not. That is a term that was used by Thomas Jefferson writing a letter to the Danbury Baptist Association when they were concerned that the American government would choose to be Methodist or Baptist or one particular degree of Christianity, one particular denomination. So he used it to say, listen,
well,
by the way, we're not going to have an official...
Hang on, Ernie. You guys are pushing
that it has to be Christian. Okay. You don't have any tolerance in your dialogue.
You use the word liberal, Ernie. You use the word liberal. I didn't say liberal. I said leftist. There's a very big difference between my friends who are liberal, who I love, and people who are communist leftist Marxism. That's a big difference.
Hang on, Ernie. I'm going to turn you down a little bit, but stay on. I'm going to let Brandon actually finish his sentence, and then I'll turn you back up, okay? Just otherwise, it's just back and forth here. Go on, Brandon. Finish what you were going to say.
I think if you ask a question, Ernie, you should listen to the answer. And the answer is that there are a lot of people who are Christians, who have Judeo-Christian ethic, who believe in the Bible, who believe in the Word of God, who have been silent and watched this nation go down the tubes in many ways. Now, that hurts everybody, not just the Christians. Hurts everybody because I do believe that this nation has a special call on it to be light to the world, and that's why everybody wants to come here. It's because this is the most free nation in the world. There's the most opportunity for people to get set free from poverty, set free from tyranny in foreign countries. So I'm firmly for this nation being a nation that is a light into the world. Now, am I a Christian? Yes. And I have a right as a Christian to use my voice to speak what I think, just like you have a right to use yours. And so I'm using my voice to speak up for what I believe is right, rather than being told or silenced or being intimidated to say I don't have a right to speak. And so, and just like the founding fathers, you know, if you actually read their literature, they reference God and the God of nature over and over and over again. So I like them. I'm in the right tradition. And if you look even into Christianity, Jesus spoke out against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, who were the ruling body of Judea. They were the policymakers of Judea. So both my historical Christian position and the role that Jesus showed us, both I have a reason to do this by both of those traditions.
Okay, I got Ernie back on. Ernie, another minute because I got another caller behind you.
I'll just say one thing right now. As you talk about the media is all left, right? Okay, well, I'm a radio guy, and I'll tell you right now, I dare you to find any liberal radio stations that you can get on AM right now. You tell me, like, you might get KGO a little bit, but overall, it's total, even the relevant radio is harsh conservative, okay? And you guys should know about that. That's a Catholic's point of view.
Yeah,
okay?
No, definitely, I agree with you.
But, you guys just find one liberal station on AM.
Well, actually, AM is where the conservatives are. I would say that we're talking like CNN. We're talking the big, big, huge corporations that
about radio? Radio? You guys are on radio right now. It's huge.
But FM has always had
voice on the radio.
FM has always had a problem with talk radio, and the reason why is because their arguments don't stand up.
I'm saying AM. AM. Yes. Well, their arguments don't stand up. Why are we talking right now? Because we're arguing or discussing like we should be, like Americans, not leftists or rightists. We are Americans.
Yeah,
and you guys got to get on board with saying we're Americans first and not leftist or rightist. That's my point.
Okay, that's a good, I mean, I respect that. I understand, because we need to be more unified.
Yeah, and I think we are kind of unique in talk radio is not what it used to be. Its platform has gone down a lot. And the owners of the large corporations, they have those 4 a.m. talking points, and most of them are parroting and echoing in that chamber.
All right. Hey, I have another call. It's James. James, can you hear us?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me clearly?
Oh, very clearly. Nice.
Okay, that's great. You know, I just want to thank you guys for the show. I realize it's at the end. There are so many layers of deception against common sense going on. And if this is how the media is portraying the story, what is the real history of the different inhabitants on planet Earth? We have a system that is really just needs to be replaced with what it was hundreds of years ago, people helping each other out and better judgment. Anyway, I just want to say thanks. This was a good program. I listened to last week's too.
Well, thank you, James. I appreciate that. Okay, well, thank you. James makes a good point. You know, the system, I think what happens is when you give too much power to mankind, because the scriptures say that man's heart is desperately wicked, who can know it? I think we're self-pleasing a lot of times. And you notice that pattern when you get everything you want. You become a spoiled child, you know. And so that's what happens when you get everything you want. And you see politicians that are making $100 million on a congressman's, you know, congressperson's salary. You wonder, and they become that. They become entitled. And so power, people that gain power, they don't want to give it up.
Well, I think even talking about how we started, we were never meant to be have career politicians. And that's, I think, where we need to get some things rearranged, where we get some of those lifetimers out of office and get some fresh people in and have some term limits on some of our local legislators.
Absolutely.
You know, we are talking about January 6th, and I don't want to close the show without forgetting and bringing to our hearts and our minds that there are still people in jail. There's still people that are unjustly incarcerated without having due process. And I'd love to just pray for them right now. So if you just join me while we're on the air. Father God, we just thank you that you see those that no one else sees. You know those who are in captivity. And we're just asking for a visitation, that you visit each person who's at home in waiting to be arraigned or in an actual jail cell, and that you would pour out the love of God, your love on them, that you would reveal yourself to them, that you would give them hope, that you would break the tormentor off of them. If they have pain in their body, that you would heal that pain and you would release peace into their cell, into their house, wherever they are, that thing that is churning in them, you would just relieve them of the worry. And we thank you that we can trust you. We can thank you that we can trust you with our lives and with this nation. And we bless you. We want to say thank you to all our listeners tonight for joining in. And we say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right. This has been Wake